Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
Chapter 14 and verse 32, he says, he was very distressed and troubled. Luke chapter 22, verse 44, Luke's account says, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Now, I'm not trying to be condescending to Jesus whatsoever, so please understand what I'm saying. But Jesus, doesn't it sound an awful lot like Jesus is having some anxiety at this point? Now, I've been pretty stressed before, but I have never sweat drops of blood. Now, there's different takes on that, whether he was literally pouring out blood from his pores, which can happen under stressful scenarios, or whether he was sweating so profusely that it looked as though he was just bleeding because he was sweating so badly. I think it was probably the first. There was actually capillaries in his brow that had burst as a result of the anxiety. So when we look at that, if being stressed, if being having anxiety, or if worrying, as Jesus talks about in Matthew 6, is a sinful thing, then it really can't be if we understand what about Jesus? That he was tempted in all points like we are, yet what? You finish it, without sin. So if Jesus was stressing, or if he was anxious, or if he was worried, and that's a sin, then Jesus wasn't sinless. So we do have to understand the concepts behind Matthew chapter 6 and sort of what's behind the whole passage itself. So let's rewind and let's go back to those words in Matthew chapter 6. Now we'll read what he says there, verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, to understand sort of the concept of what Jesus is talking about before he gets into it, notice the word that begins this, for this reason. Now, when you read a statement like, for this reason, or therefore, what do you usually have to do? You got to go back a little bit, don't you? Now, what did he say in the verses before that? Notice what he says, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The whole purpose behind this dialogue that he's about to give us about anxiety or about worry is the fact that there were people trying to serve two masters. Here's the first thing that we need to remember. When we're struggling with anxiety, and sometimes all of us are going to struggle with some things, we need to make sure that our attention isn't divided. And by that I mean that it's not divided between God and other things that are less important. Jesus' attention was never really divided when he was in the garden. He knew what he was going to do. He was just stressed about it. He knew that he trusted that God was going to take care of him. In fact, what was his prayer in the garden? Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus understood going forward, I'm going to do God's will, but God's will is stressing me out right now. God's will is difficult right now. God's will is something that I'm struggling with. And so if it's your will, let this cup pass from me, because I know I'm going to do your will. I know that I'm going to do what you need me to do. But see, in Matthew chapter 6, this anxiety that he's talking about, he says, for this reason, don't be worried about your life. We sometimes end up serving God and other things because we start worrying about and trying to take on everything on us. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or your body as to what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food? Isn't there more than that in our lives? And then he says this, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And we're going to get to that passage in just a moment, but he's reminding them, don't let yourself get divided too much. You're trying to serve God while desiring and wanting the things of the world, it does result in some unwanted and unneeded stress and worry. Because we start thinking, well, I'm serving God, but I really want what everybody else has. I'm serving God, and I really want to be living like everybody else is living. And we start getting our attention divided between two things, and we miss the point of what God really wanted us to do about serving Him and following Him and trusting in Him that He's going to take care of us. I've noticed in anxiety, especially with dealing with patients or dealing with clients that I have, is that, have you ever noticed that most of our anxiety is not in the moment? We're feeling it in the moment, but it's about either things that have happened or things that are going to happen. In fact, a lot of counselors and therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists, they treat the anxiety with, let's do things to get you in the moment. We call it mindfulness. Some of you might have seen it. There's an app, by the way, if you struggle with anxiety, there are things that will help you out there. There's people that can help you. There's apps that can help you. As they used to say, there's an app for that. There is one. It's called the Calm app. If some of you struggle with that, it's got some meditation things that you can do. But the Scripture is a great place as well that we find some of those things that remind us of how that we can cure that. But if you think about it, if all I'm doing is thinking about the things that are coming or the things that have happened to me, I've sort of divided my attention, haven't I? You know, that passage that we have a song about that says, be still and what? Know that I'm God. There's some translations of that say, cease striving and know that I'm God. Just sit still a moment. How many times did Jesus go to the wilderness, get alone and get away from the stresses? They're trying to make him king, or he's appointing his disciples, or other things are happening, and so he gets away and kind of gets in the moment. Not about what's going to happen. It's not about what has happened. I'm going to focus on right here and right now. Some of you might have heard of Corrie Ten Boom. She was a survivor of Holocaust. And she wrote a lot of material, and a lot of it was about anxiety. Can you imagine this Korchek that we were talking about, or Corrie Ten Boom, or the people, and you may have known people who survived the Holocaust as well. Can you imagine some of the anxiety that might have went with that, not ever knowing what's going to happen the next day? Here's what she says about it. Corrie Ten Boom said, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It's moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. The idea is that when we allow worry to take over today, I'm carrying 2 days' burdens at once. I'm worrying about another day and not the moment. A lot of people that have panic attacks, a lot of times it has to do with something that's happened, or PTSD, which is sort of rooted in anxiety. It has to do with things that have happened, and they're carrying that today. Now, a lot of times you can't help some of those things. Those need some interventions. But the fact is that we end up getting stuck in the past or getting stuck in the future. No divided attention. Try and find a way to get in the moment. That can happen with meditation. That can happen with prayer. That can happen with opening up God's Word. And so many people find comfort in all those different ways. And then those things like mindfulness that can kind of put me in the moment. One of the things that I do with people, and I've done it for myself, is what are three things I hear? What are three things I feel? What are three things that I can see? You could do all the senses if you wanted to. I can look around this room and I could talk about colors that I see in this room. And then I do two things I can see, and two things I can feel, and two things I can hear. And then I do one thing I can see, one thing I can feel, one thing I can hear, and it kind of relaxes you and it puts you in the moment. just to think about where I am and not where I've got to go or what I've got to do or what I have done. It just puts me in the moment. And so he says, look, why do you keep worrying about what's going to happen? Instead, know that God's going to take care of you. Notice what he says next in verses 26 through 30. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? He says, look, you're going to be taken care of. Except, here's something that we really struggle with. Except your lack of control. Except the fact that you don't have control over everything. I struggle with that sometimes, as do a lot of people, that we don't have control over every single thing in our lives. Jesus reminds them, look, these things like the birds, he reminds them of three areas. The birds are fed by God. You can't add to your life by worrying. You know, Different versions, some say you can't add a single hour to your life. Some say you can't add a cubit to your height. I stopped worrying about that a long time ago. But, you know, at some point I was thinking, man, I'd really like to be taller. But then I realized I can't do anything about it. How many times do we worry about things that we don't have control over? I would say that it's probably 90 or 95% of the things that we worry about, we don't have control over. And by worrying, kind of like Corrie Ten Boom talks about, we just kind of add to the burdens of the day. I used to worry about going to the dentist. I still hate going to the dentist. I'm sorry if you're a dentist. But I didn't like going. I didn't enjoy that. And so I would worry about it. And then I realized I ruined a whole week worrying about going to the dentist at the end of the week. I mean, I can just worry about it that day and it won't really matter. Or I can worry about it when I sit down in the chair, but there's no sense in worrying about it for the whole week. And so reminding yourself of that look, there's things that are going to happen in this life, things that I don't have control over. What I've learned is that we get angry a lot of times, and you kind of go into the scriptures about anger. And most of the time we get angry when we don't have control over something. Anger is used to try to gain control. See, I control this little circle right here. You guys could all get up. Now, I hope you don't, but you could all get up and leave, and I've got no control over that. I might feel bad about it, but should I? I don't have control over it. You have to do what you do. You have control over you. I have control over me. I don't have control over other people. And so when I begin to realize, hey, God is in control of things, but I don't have control. Even Jesus, sometimes we think about Jesus, you know, how did he deal with all the stuff that he saw, all the people that he had to deal with? And even in John chapter 6, in ministry, we sometimes deal with this. Your ministers here have probably dealt with this at some point, about trying to take care of everything and trying to take care of everybody and worried when somebody leaves and goes to another congregation or when something happens and somebody's offended by something, and we kind of carry that on our shoulders. And I have to remind myself of John chapter 6, where Jesus was with his disciples and he said some things they didn't like and they left him. You remember that? Can you imagine? Like, we've had people leave our congregation and you still kind of feel like, man, I messed up. But people left Jesus. They walked away from Jesus, perfecter of our faith. They walked away from him. And Jesus' response is something that I've had to kind of shoulder and remember through the years of my ministry. Is he said to them, does anybody remember what he said to the other ones that were standing there? Yeah, will you go away too? Jesus didn't go after them. He didn't beg them. He didn't try to plead with them. Oh, I'm sorry I offended you. Just come on back. We're going to fix this. Jesus knew that what he spoke was the truth, and he didn't beg people back. He just simply said, hey, are you guys going to go too? Because Jesus knew that their decision was their decision. I've had to learn that through the years, and that goes along with anxiety sometimes because you worry about what other people think. Now, is there a point in which we should be concerned about what people think? Yes, or, you know, we understand we have influence. But at the same time, if what I do keeps you from following Jesus, then you and Jesus weren't that close to begin with. Because you get to choose whether you walk with Jesus, and I get to choose whether I walk with Jesus. And so Jesus knew when he was talking to these disciples, they had control over what they did. And they left him. And so Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 6, though, to understand that God has control, but we lack some of it. What do we do when we lose this control? What do we do when we understand we've got a lack of control in the things that happen to us? What did Paul tell us in Philippians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 6? Be anxious for nothing. So he says, hey, don't be anxious about anything, but instead do what? With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. How many times when we're anxious do we think about thanksgiving? I think that's an interesting little thing that Paul drops in there. He talks about thanksgiving a lot, by the way. You read Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, Philippians, you read most of his letters, he talks about being thankful an awful lot. When you go before God, be thankful. So here he says, look, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication before God with thanksgiving. Remind him, you know, if you'll get your mindset that I'm thankful for what I do have and not I'm anxious about what I don't have, then it helps bring our thoughts in line with God's thoughts. He already knows what we need. Verse 32 has already reminded us, or we haven't read that yet, but as you continue, he says, don't worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. He knows before you ever ask it. So trust him. Come to him and align your thoughts with his thoughts. Proverbs chapter 3 is one of those passages you're probably most familiar with. Proverbs 3 and beginning in verse 5, where the writer of Proverbs says very simply to us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Just trust. Just put your trust and your faith in him. I want you to look at a parallel passage in Luke chapter 12, parallel to what we've been reading in Matthew chapter 6. In Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 32, look at how Jesus words it here. He's kind of telling them the same thing. Seeking the kingdom first and not worrying about what's going to happen. He's been talking about these things at the beginning. And then in verse 32 he says, so do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. And when you read that, sometimes when we read Matthew 6, it's like, do not be anxious. Do not be worried. You know, quit worrying, and we sometimes align that with we're sinning if we're worrying, because Jesus said, do not do it. Well, here he's kind of read into his heart, maybe a little bit more in the way Luke says it. Don't be afraid, little flock. You ever told your kids that? Hey, don't be afraid. Okay. You know they're going to be afraid when they're walking through a dark place. I've taken my kids, my two oldest have gone hunting with me before, and we go into the woods at night, and all we've got is a little flashlight, and they're holding on pretty close. You have to, you know, we say, don't be afraid. All right, I'm with you. Nothing's going to happen. We're safe. We're this. You know, we have to kind of console them because they're children, and they don't understand where they're going, and they don't understand the darkness, and they don't understand what might be out there, and sometimes we don't either. See, God does know, but he knows that we don't. And so he says, look, don't be afraid, little flock. I'm with you. That's why he's called the good, what? Shepherd. Because he took care of the sheep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For why? I don't have to be afraid because God walks with me. I know He's with me. I know He's guiding me. I know He's going to help me. So accept your lack of control. You can't worry getting taller and do any good. You can't worry about food and put it on the table. Now, there's a certain amount of worry or a certain amount of anxiety that leads us to go do those things. I've had people who are like, I just don't care about anything. Well, obviously, we want to care about things, so there's a certain healthy amount of where we do it. But he says, you know, sometimes we get so wrapped up in that, we forget just simply trusting God, that He's really the source of all the things that we have. And then he says this in verse 31. We've already read a little bit of this. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first what? His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Here's what he says lastly. Change your focus. Change the things that you focus on. It's not about you anymore. It's about something that's much bigger than you. It's about the kingdom. You might notice this quote here from Corrie Ten Boom, another one. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Pretty powerful quote, isn't it? Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. He already knows what we need before we ask it. So what do we change our focus to? When we're getting stressed, when we're getting anxious, when we're getting worried, even in the secular world, even counselors out in the world that don't really believe in God, they would say, we need to change our focus. We got to start thinking on other things, especially in that moment, in that anxious moment. What are other things that we can think about rather than the things that have happened and the things that are going to happen? Let's focus on this moment right here. And what he tells us is, you can be focused on all the things that you don't have control over. You can focus on God, the one who has control over all things, the known God that can handle the unknown future that we see as unknown. He sees it all. Well, what does he tell us to focus on? His kingdom, righteousness, and all the other stuff will be added to us. What's he talking about? All the other stuff will be added to us. All the other things that we're worried about, those things will fall in place. Just seek his kingdom first. Just worry about walking in his ways first. Seek him. And by the way, go back to the reason he's saying this was what? Cannot serve two masters. Serve God, everything else works out. Serve God, and you don't have to serve mammon, you don't have to serve wealth, you don't have to serve the other things, because God is all sufficient. Takes care of us. Colossians chapter 3, one of my favorite passages in all the scriptures, begins in verse 1. He says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, then keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with Him in glory. The whole basis of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is stated in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, when he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. He's not trying to tell the people in Matthew 5 that, hey, you've got to be better, you've got to be all these things more than the Pharisees were, because we know they held some pretty tight beliefs. But you remember how Jesus said they didn't really keep them? They didn't really make them a way of life. They taught them, but they didn't really lift their finger to do them. Their hearts weren't in the right place. When you really examine Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, it's really about the heart. It's about the fact that, hey, they're doing all these physical things, but let me tell you, you need to do these. You need to make Christ a part of your heart. You need to make sure that instead of just simply saying, hey, I'm not going to kill my the people around me. I'm not going to commit murder. He says, I don't want you to even hate. Well, you've heard, don't commit adultery. He says, I don't want you to look at a woman to lust after. All about the heart. He's telling them here, just focus on me. Focus on what I have brought to the table for you. Focus on my love and what I do for you. That's where we want to be. And that's the relationship that we want to have with Him. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And so when Jesus was in the garden praying, when He was in the garden struggling, He wasn't sinning. He was wrestling with the fact that there was some unknown things. Even though Jesus knew, and I guess maybe even for Him it was, I know what I'm going to go through. We may sit at a hospital and wonder what's going to happen. What's this test result going to be? We may sit at work and wonder, well, when is the slip going to come to me? When am I going to lose the job? Or we may think in our families, how am I going to pay these bills? Trust God. Let Him guide you. Let Him, His Word guide you. And allow Him to be the thing that you lean on in those unknown times. So many of our worries and anxieties are brought on by seeking the wrong things. Take the time to consider, are you stressed and anxious because your loyalties are divided? Are you stressed and anxious because there's something that's very real that you're facing? God can lead you through. The song that was written, you might have heard these lyrics before, written by Mark Hall and Matthew West, and I love the lines to this song. Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else, make a name the world remembers. But all the empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the light when it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. All the kingdoms built, all the trophies won, will crumble into dust when it's said and done. But all that really matters, did I live the truth to the ones I love? Was my life the proof that there is only one whose name will last forever? And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to Him. Only Jesus. When we make our focus the focus of Matthew chapter 6, I'm not going to say that you'll never worry about anything again. Stresses come, anxiety happens, difficulties happen. So much of what we deal with today is, you know, people think about, well, this nation is in such turmoil right now. You've probably prayed for our nation. You've probably worried about our nation. I read a book by Michael Whitworth several years ago, The Derision of Heaven. And it's really all about Daniel. And it's about the fact that Daniel went through king after king, regime after regime, you know, different kingdoms that ruled him. And in every single one of them, trusted God, made it through. I don't know what the future is for the United States. I hope that we're here for a very long time. I hope my kids get to enjoy the freedom. But the reality is that I know God's in control. And whether I'm living under the United States rule or in some other place or under some other rule, I still belong to a kingdom that's much greater and much better. The Philippians loved their citizenship of Rome. But when Paul wrote to them, he reminded them, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where our citizenship lies. And so tonight, we face a world full of anxiety and struggles and other things. But Jesus reminds us, just trust in me. Put my kingdom first, put the righteousness first, and let everything else fall into place. Don't let yourself get divided. Focus on me, and I'll help you through these things. If there's tonight, I know we don't offer an invitation, but certainly you have elders and ministers who are concerned for you. If you have those struggles in your life, you have things that you're dealing with, then please go to them and talk to them. They'll help you find the peace that you need, or they'll help you find somebody that can help you through this. If you would, let's bow in prayer together as we close. Father, we thank you for the love that you have given us, for the patience that you have with us, and Father, for the peace that you bring into our lives. Father, we know that that you came so that there could be peace between us and God. Father, you came so that there could be peace between us and our brothers and sisters. And Father, we know also that with you coming to the earth, that there are going to be times where the world isn't going to see us in a good light, and there's going to be difficult things that we're going to face sometimes. Father, we're going to go through difficult times like the valley of the shadow of death, but we pray that you will help us to trust in you. We pray that you'll help us to keep our eyes on you. And Father, that we'll keep our focus on your kingdom and your righteousness. Help us as we go from here tonight to be safe going back to our homes. Father, thank you for each person that's here, for what they represent, and for the fact that they love you enough to be here and to worship you and to study your word. Father, I pray that the things that we have studied will in some way benefit someone here, and that we can take them and apply them to our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.